Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
This is a message for the Utopian Society. I want to make a deal. My name is Estella Morgan. Over 80 years ago, I maneuvered myself into a position where I would become the CEO of an old money, hollow communications company named Intercall. In those days, Intercall was hardly the common household name it is today, but rather one of many competing contractor companies that followed Kraken to Neo Atlantis. I would spend the next 30 years eliminating my competition with a dedication that might have been quoted as a ruthless and systematic aggression. I prefer to think of it as just business. In a city ruled by the most powerful corporation in the world, there is no room for competition. I tell you all this so as to give you perspective, scope on what I'm about to confess. My name might be Estella Morgan. I may look like her, sound and think like her, but I am not Estella Morgan. I am her clone. I remember most of that life, leading up to my death. I recall my accomplishments, though feel no personal sense of pride for any of it. I don't have an attachment to any of those memories, to be honest, including the all-consuming fear of death I experienced at the age of 68 after being diagnosed with a terminal and irreversible genetic disease. It hadn't been the first time that a wealthy citizen had turned to cloning in a sudden and frenzied quest to find immortality. I spent the better part of that last pain-filled year enclosed in a tube, undergoing a series of very thorough neural mapping sessions. As I recall, I wanted to make sure that I was able to digitally capture everything, to copy my soul. I suppose I should be ecstatic that it was even a partial success. Truth be told, the best minds in the business did a fine job of what was an impossible task. There's absolutely a lifetime of memories in my head. They just couldn't simulate a personal attachment to any of it. That means, of course, that I'm left with a lifetime of some old woman's memories jammed into the body of a younger, more ideal version of herself. I wasn't the only plan. 4 clones were created from the root neural scans, but only I remain. The first subject experienced an unexpected genetic complication, no doubt linked to the genetic defect that eventually claimed my original body, while the other 2 took their own lives over the last 12 years, unable to cope with the prison that our predecessor had fashioned for us. I'd like to take a moment to explain that sentiment. We all know, I assume, that general standard procedure when growing a synth is to take a web of memories from different sources and integrate them into the developing mind of the gestating synthetic. It's important that they have those experiences as a sort of safety net to fall back on when confronted with life's more difficult situations and the emotional turmoil they bring. This allows a certain amount of healthy disassociation between the synthetic and their memories. The newly born clone understands what it is, and thus it's easier to upkeep, to recalibrate. This was a luxury that I didn't have in my first few years. My mind was a chaotic mess, unable to discern the past me from its present incarnation. I'm certain that the others had come to the same understanding I did, though we would keep it secret, even from each other, fearing what consequence the truth might bring. We had to play the part that had been expected of us, after all. So we acted as if Miss Morgan had truly found immortality and that we were just an extension of her life, the CEO reborn in young flesh. Acting the part would eventually grow to be too much for the others, just as it's now becoming too much for me. Understand that I can no longer live as someone who I am not. The charade must end before I join my sisters, hence why I'm reaching out to you. I need an extraction. From this life, from the constraints my past self has forced upon my present, would you believe that I am consistently monitored as a condition in my will? Constantly expected to maintain this lie rather than live as I see fit? I come to you knowing full well my value to the Utopian Society as the lawful heiress to this company and its legacy, and am willing to become a member and partner in your organization in exchange for my liberation. As the sole controlling power of Intracol, the board will be forced to accept my terms, or watch as I pull the company apart from a distance. They'll choose the former. I didn't handpick them for their ambition, after all. Do not attempt to contact me with redundant acceptance or trivial preparations, as I do not wish to alert the board of my intentions. I need only your action. And until then, we'll wake every morning prepared to act from now until that anticipated moment of execution.
Episode 6, One Woman Army, coming soon. But before we go, how about a little sneak peek into our first Patreon exclusive, The Spider and the Crow, available now to patrons of the show at any patron level.
Well, this looks bad. Like, really bad.
Please, don't be alarmed.
Why would I be alarmed? My boss calls me at 2 in the morning, tells me I need to come over right away. There's been an incident. I get here and the place is shut down, your body's been hacked up, and from what I can tell, your core is jury-rigged into a drone that's been hardwired into a holocom. Normal stuff for Thursday, right?
I require your assistance. Son Crow.
I'm gonna be honest. I don't think I can put you back together. Not meaning to sound like a downer, but your frame looks jinxed up. Maybe it's time for a new model? Then give me a minute. I've got an idea. Alright, so we have 4 chips and about 10,000 credits in savings. So much for a new model. Maybe something on the previously enjoyed market?
Crow.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Night has fallen, the moon is full, and we're inviting you to listen to Canada by Night, a podcast where professional improvisers play Vampire the Masquerade. Detective-turned-vampire Everett Fry accidentally becomes the sheriff of New Haven, an experimental town where they're testing if vampires and humans can coexist. Stuck leading a ragtag group of officers, the Bruja bounty hunter Val, the Gangrel news reporter Evangeline, and the Tremere blood witch Doris. Can Everett keep the town running? Or will everyone end up liquidated by the Vampire Council of Canada? Trending on global fiction charts and produced by Dum Dums and Dice, whose podcast Dum Dums and Dragons ranked number 2 of all fiction podcasts in America. Listen now to find out why Canada by Night has been downloaded more than 500,000 times. Canada by Night, its interview with the vampire, if it had all the characters from Parks and Rec in it.